Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so this is part two of episode number 135 of Ready to Unload. We got into all sorts of stuff. Hi, buddy. What is that, deodorant? Yes? You gonna put it on your arms? Thank you. Say hi, everybody. No? Okay. Anyway, part two of Ready to Unload, number 135, Glee, Timbits. You gonna put it on? Okay. Glee, Timbits, all sorts of stuff. It was a lot of fun. Enjoy, and we'll see you next week. Thanks. Do we want to address the Quentin?
Yeah, let's
Frankie thing real quick, and then yeah, and then we could do a fun load.
I want to address a couple of quick baseball nuggets.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, the first.
Don't say nuggets.
Tidbits.
Thank you.
Twib notes.
Twib. How about? Do you know what these are? Ready? Timbits.
What?
Do you know what Timbits are?
Timbits, McCarverisms?
No. So you know what Tim Hortons is, right?
Sure. Please.
Right. I know you're a quarter French Canadian. Of course, you know what Tim Hortons is.
Better coffee than Dunkin' Donuts.
How dare you? Wow. That's the end of the podcast, Pete.
I will fight you.
Roll up the truck. That's the end. And we just got the T-shirts today.
I'll drop the gloves.
And we're ending the podcast. We are going to drop the gloves over Dunkin' Donuts and Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons' version of the Munchkin.
Is it Tim Bite?
No. Tim Bits. Tim Bite wouldn't have been awkward and uncomfortable to say. No. I have to get Tim Bits for my son, who calls them all Munchkins, thankfully.
Sure.
And doesn't request Tim Bits.
You know, I've never had the donuts there, only the coffee. So I didn't know.
Timbits.
All right.
Tim Hortons Bits. That's what I'm getting.
Do you remember the little kid who used to sell the Munchkins in the Munchkin commercial?
That was me.
that little dude?
I don't even remember a Munchkins commercial.
Oh, this wouldn't fly anymore.
Oh, was he a little person? Was he of a short stature?
He was beyond tiny, and he had a funny little voice and red hair.
But he wasn't a kid, right?
What do you mean? Like he was a 30-year-old man? No, it was a kid.
No, I thought he might have been like, you know, like an Emmanuel Lewis type character.
Well, I mean, yeah, but probably older than his height would make you believe.
Okay.
Old enough to memorize lines.
They couldn't get Emmanuel Lewis, Cal.
I think his name was Mason Reese.
No, was it the kid from Different Strokes? Sam?
Danny Cooksey?
That was the kid they added to Different Strokes. When what's it? When Bane?
Yes.
Oh, he was terrible.
Conrad Bain marries Dixie Carter.
Right, like you do.
As one does on a sitcom.
That's the classic, the show is starting to fade, let's add the precocious little kid that has nothing to do with anything.
Sam.
Right.
Ripped out of the Oliver on the Brady Bunch pile.
Oh, that's the prototype.
His name was Mason Reese, and you can look him up. He looks like Bruce Valanche's little brother now. And he was the Munchkin kid.
Hold on, I'm still trying to get the Bruce Valanche's little brother vision out of my head.
Sorry, it's what he's...
I'm so funny!
He also hawked deviled ham and post-raisin bran.
Wow, kid worked a lot.
You see this kid's face, you're going to recognize him.
The only Dunkin' Donuts...
that kid.
The only Dunkin' Donuts commercial I know of is Time to Make the Donuts, obviously.
Right.
Like, that's industry standard.
Well, how about the Terry Collins commercial where he's running on Duncan, and he's as awkward as anybody has ever been. He's like looking off to the side.
Slow down. He's not as awkward as Willie Randolph and Joe Torre doing a Subway commercial.
The Subway, that's a lot of meat.
Yes, it's toasted.
Right. He's just annoyed.
I never minded that commercial.
I pissed off. He was. This is such a great commercial with Willie Randolph and Joe Torre doing for toasted subs from Subway. And Joe Torre is like, is it toasted? And Willie Randolph's like, yes, it's toasted.
Jerk.
Idiot. Like, Joe Torre just asked him the stupidest question of all time. Yes, it's toasted. Yes. I mean...
What do you think, Einstein? You're so smart. You got all those rings.
You got all those championships.
You tell me.
You got all those champs. You got all those rings. You tell me. What do you think it's toasted? Of course it's toasted. Only an idiot wouldn't toast this sandwich.
And Willie Randolph was such a sour guy.
He was just
for the
so
most part
pissy all the time.
It was
like so like cheer up.
It's not that bad.
Gosh, it translated into his Subway commercial acting. Yes, it's toasted. How many times?
Who brought this guy?
I'll be in my trailer. I can't. Willie, that's just a copy. He's just reading the copy from his script.
Can we get Showalter back in here?
Is this amateur hour? Of course it's toasted. You may win championships. You don't make sandwiches. Only a fool wouldn't toast it.
So Mason Reese,
yes,
is the kid.
Yeah, it's Sam.
Bruce Valanche's son. Right? Or his brother, his little brother.
His little brother. Yeah.
He did a Munchkin commercial. I don't remember this. What time frame? 80s? 90s?
Late 70s.
Late 70s?
That's why.
That's before my time.
Yeah. That's. Thanks, old man.
That's before you were allowed to watch TV.
Did you get that walker? the RTU health program provides? Did you get that? How's that hip replacement?
You think you're funny now?
I honestly, the only TV memories I have from, that would, you know, make me about 4, 5, 6. The only TV memories I have are either like Electric Company or PBS shows and sports.
Well, like, these commercials were so big that they ran them long after, you know, the kid was that age. No, like the Mikey Life commercials ran for
right. Mikey was
27
years old, collecting still getting residual checks.
Yeah,
I don't remember these commercials. I will tell you this: very difficult to order Timbits with a straight face. There's a Tim Hortons in Penn Station. I stop there on my way home from work, get a medium coffee, cream and sugar for the train ride home. Because I drink
you do have good coffee.
Way too much coffee. Coffee's good. It's not Dunkin' Donuts, but it's good. And I get Timbits for the little guy. So I say, can I have let me get a medium, cream and sugar, and 4 Timbits. I need 4 of Tim's bits. Do you have his bits back there? Did Tim leave any of his bits?
You buy them in fours?
I can buy 4. I get 2 and 2. 2 chocolate, 2 glaze.
You sound like Willie Randolph.
Yes, it's toasted.
Are they Tim's bits? Yeah, they're Tim's bits.
Yeah, they're Tim's bits.
I'm going to send you this Munchkin commercial, by the way.
Okay. Good.
It's from 1975. So way before
our time. Wow, yeah, I was one.
I've never seen this commercial before, but when PJ says that this kid is the
little brother of Bruce Valanche. Oh, we gotta put a screen capture of up of it on the show. On the show page.
He hasn't been more on about anything in recent memory.
This is an absolutely perfect description. That's great. I love it.
I finally hit one.
Oh, that was perfect, PJ.
It sounds like you didn't just hit it. You knocked it right out of the park.
Oh, wait till you see it.
That's great.
I love that in the show right there.
Let's get Cal's Timbits.
All right, so here, a couple things. Number one.
RTU Timbits with Cal.
This is a new segment, without a doubt.
Cal's Bits.
We're so off the rails.
Yeah, well, let's bring it back. And what I wanted to tell you is that tonight in the Toronto Blue Jays game, our old friend Jose Reyes suffered a major injury to his ankle sliding into second base.
Oh, no.
Carted off the field.
Ah.
Speculating that he might have broke his ankle.
Oh, and I wow, boy, it has all gone right for those world champion Blue Jays.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
Dickey's gotten knocked around. Josh Johnson gave up like 9 runs in 10 minutes the other day. And now this for Jose. I of course don't wish any sort of injury on Jose Reyes.
No, of course not. But...
What, you were staggered there. What happened? You okay? Did we lose Cal on the phone?
I think he's mesmerized by the image of Mason Reese. He's just staring at it. You can't look away.
He's looking at Mason Reese.
I want you to return the shirts and see if you can't get Mason Reese's face.
Did you see it?
Put on this shirt.
We said that's how you lost your phone connection.
It's exactly how I lost it. I was trying to send it to you.
You're staring into Mason Reese's eyes.
I am. But anyway, let me go.
So Reyes maybe breaks his ankle. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, carted off the field. It was a pretty bad scene. He was crying. It was really not good, and you feel bad for him.
That's terrible.
You know, that's one thing.
As bad as Jeter?
No, well, he doesn't have an edge.
Hey, look. All right? When the captain goes down. Okay. There's only one captain in town. All right? Okay.
The other thing was the brawl from last night with Carlos Quentin and Zach Greinke, and a lot of debate, a lot of scuttlebutt about this thing. Who was right? Who was wrong? You know, was Quentin oversensitive? Should he not have charged the mound? Was Greinke trying to hit him? Did Greinke egg him on? What, Steve? Did you see it?
I did.
What do you think about it?
There's a lot that goes into this because there is a history there. Obviously, I mean, I didn't know about it, but there is a history there. Greinke has hit him 3 times in the past.
Well, I guess Quentin, they played against each other a lot when Quentin was with the White Sox and Greinke was with the Royals.
Yeah, there's some history there. Zach Greinke doesn't seem like a confrontational guy.
He's a slight man also.
You always sort of – Zach Greinke's sort of the poster child for a little bit of what we talked about last week, Bri, the humanization of these professional athletes and that he suffers from social anxiety disorder. And so therefore he is – it was always said like he can't play in New York, that sort of thing. He has to take medication to really be, you know, in crowds and stuff like that. So he's been humanized. He doesn't just seem like a confrontational guy. Yet he's a major league pitcher and a very good one with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball who pitches inside. So, you know, you can't just say out of school, well, maybe there's no intent there or he's never thrown at him or whatever. There's two pieces to this. One of them is the situation, right? So it's a 2-1 ball game, bottom of the sixth. The Dodgers protecting a 2-1 lead. It's a 3-2 count. Nobody on base. Why is he throwing at Quentin there? Like Carlos Quentin's getting killed for his baseball acumen at this point. Like know the game. Don Mattingly came out and said, know the situation. You know, if it's 14-2 and he hits you, then he's throwing at you. If it's 2-1 and he's protecting a 2-1 lead in the sixth inning, he doesn't want to put you on base on a 3-2 count. He's not trying to hit you. So he shouldn't have charged the mound. I mean, that's the bottom line. There's a time and a place for that in baseball. And it wasn't that. Even, you know, regardless of a history there, he shouldn't have charged the mound. But he did. And Zach Greinke broke his collarbone.
Right. It was an awkward way to meet somebody charging him at the mound.
Yeah, he lowered his shoulder.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Right. Quentin came at him with his shoulders lowered, and he lowered his shoulder, and they sort of like hit and wrestled, and who knows if it was the initial contact. You know, Carlos Quentin's like 230 pounds. But this idea that I didn't agree at all with the idea that I understand it, but I didn't agree at all with the idea that he should be suspended as long as Zach Greinke is out and injured.
That's just, it's not realistic.
It's not. I saw something today, Cal, that the Dodgers were thinking of suing or pursuing, potentially suing the Padres.
Oh.
For this. You can't, don't, please, come on. Don't open that can of worms. It's baseball. Was it stupid to charge them out? Yeah, it was. But let's not get litigious here. Can we not do that?
Well, do you think if the Dodgers hadn't given Greinke $180 million that they would be considering suing the Padres?
No, of course not.
So that's part of it too.
Yeah, but you right, but you can't take into account who the player, like what if it was Chris Capuano and he broke his collarbone, they wouldn't sue?
No, they wouldn't.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, why should you sue for one player based on money?
Well, no, it's ridiculous. That's true.
Yeah, there shouldn't be any difference. You've still lost the player for what you gave the player is not my problem. The $180 million is not San Diego Padres' problem.
No.
So should he have been suspended? What is it, 8 games you said?
Quentin was suspended for 8 games.
Yeah, and I think you could have gone a little more, but that's fine. You know,
when you look at what guys get suspended for charging the mound,
yeah.
Regardless, I think the 8 games includes what happened after the game as well.
Right, where Matt Kemp.
Right.
Went after Carlos Quentin.
In the parking lot.
In the parking lot. So Matt Kemp actually said, find out where he's parked. I'm going to his car. And then had to be restrained, and it was broken up by security.
Right.
From hurting Carlos Quentin off the field. Wow.
Yeah, just an ugly scene.
Yeah, just not great. What you kill Carlos Quentin here for is, you know, have a little baseball acumen. He's not trying to hit you there. You know, I was ready to come out in his favor too. I was close too, because I've seen pitchers, you know, get 3-2 with a guy and just hit him rather than walk them. But it's always it's a 5-1 game or a 6-1 game, and there's two outs in the seventh, and, you know, he's the only – now, the thing is, Kyle, he's the only bat in that lineup. He's the only bat that can do any sort of – I'm not saying that Greinke was throwing at him. I'm just saying if he was going to walk him and he had a beef with him, might as well just hit him.
Right.
But, again, you're protecting a 2-1 lead. He's not trying to put a guy on base there. So,
no, I don't think so.
Yeah, you gotta kill Quentin on the baseball acumen and just knowing the game. And yeah, it's an unfortunate situation that the guy broke his collarbone though. You know, what are the odds of that happening from, you know, a guy charging him out?
Well, look,
obviously pretty good.
If typically if a guy like that is on my fantasy team, the odds are pretty good. Something like that.
That's well, that was the last part of this I wanted to bring into it, which was
the fantasy implications.
That's right.
Yeah, that's always good.
I knew immediately whose team Zach Greinke was on.
Right,
you saw the report. I didn't have to go look at the website.
When something like that happens,
right?
Typically, you know, if the guy gets attacked by a swarm of bees in the outfield, chances are.
He is on Cal's fantasy team.
I'm looking at the waiver wire.
You would, when Bob Ojeda cut off his finger with a hedge clippers.
Had I been playing fantasy baseball in earnest back then? Yeah.
No doubt.
As a matter of fact.
When Sammy Sosa broke a rib sneezing.
Right.
That's a Cal guy. Those are the guys on Cal's team.
When Jason Isringhausen cut his leg opening a package. You know, all of those stories of guys, you know, when someone sneezes and throws his back out.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't even have to look at the website. Play for Cal's team.
Anyway.
Oh, good. Oh, nice. That's all right, fun. We got a couple minutes left. Let's do a fun mode. Where's PJ? Get him in here. I pulled this. He's going to play his own music. Oh, he did another one.
is she promoting something?
Is Blue Tribe playing again?
Yes.
Wow. Cal, this is from the 1990 album, Moe's Meat Sandwich Part 1. And this song is called Instant Sublimation Categorically Misunderstood.
Yes, I know this one.
You do?
You've played this before me.
I have played this for you before,
yes.
This
really?
Is a good tune. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard this. This is good.
This reeks of 1990, though. This is one
you
of
think?
The few. This is one of the few songs you have, Peach, that's dated.
What's next, Extreme?
Yes.
Sheepishly, maybe.
That's what I had queued up next.
Could be. So what if it is?
I love that song. I love that song.
Hey, see?
That song equals my life is ahead of me, you know?
Mm-hmm. back when it was all in front of you.
That's right.
Do you have a fun load topic, or are we just going to wing it?
A couple of things.
Nice.
I noticed a couple of things in the paper today.
Oh, okay. what do you like that Fred Armisen character that he does on the news? Where do you guys wait? Where do you guys see this? Okay, where do you guys see this? Have you guys seen this? What's his name? Like Nick something?
Nicholas Fain.
Nicholas Fain. You guys, this is gonna blow your mind. And you know who Nicholas Fain is based on?
No.
Marc Maron.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Armisen told Marc Maron on a WTF that Nicholas Fain is partially based on Maron.
Oh, that's great. When you look at him, that makes sense now.
Yeah. You guys, have you guys seen this? This is real, guys. This is real.
I mean, it's like, what, you know, when you talk about, I mean, you know, and the funny thing is that this always happens. And, you know, like when you go there and, but seriously,
This is real. Go ahead. What do you got? What's in the papers with PJ? Another segment.
I told you there was a movie with Michael Keaton, Gary Oldman, and Samuel L. Jackson. What kind of movie do you think that would be?
Animated. Oh, nobody thought I was going to say that, did they?
No. I didn't think animated.
A Three Musketeers remake.
Oh,
I would have thought like Chiseled Detectives. You know,
it sounds like a road comedy to me.
Going after a big case.
Chiseled or Grizzled?
Ghostbusters 3.
Chiseled and Grizzled. No, they're all in the RoboCop remake.
What?
And by
really?
The way,
oh,
there's a
nice.
RoboCop remake.
Yes.
Because, you know, Total Recall did so well.
No, wait, say who's in it again?
Michael Keaton.
That's right.
Michael Keaton is replacing Hugh Laurie.
Cox. He's replacing Brian Cox.
Courtney Cox.
Detective, he was married to Courtney Cox, wasn't he?
Who?
Michael Keaton.
I think you're right.
Maybe.
Is that right?
Or he at least dated her. When he was making Batman.
Keaton and Cox. Cox and Keaton.
Maybe that's entirely in my head. Michael Keaton talked about this on WTF.
And he was doing RoboCop?
Yes. And he said the script is great, and, you know, he probably won't watch it because he never watches his movies, but he's playing the bad guy. He's playing... In the original, it was Lieutenant Bogomil there. What's his name? Cox. Ronnie Cox.
Right. Okay.
I think he's playing that part. Who's playing RoboCop?
I don't know.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Well,
Samuel L. Jackson is not.
Who was the original RoboCop? Was that Peter Weller?
Peter Weller, yes. Professor. Peter Weller.
This is Peter Scolari.
It was Peter Scolari in a bit of stunt casting.
But it was Peter Sellers.
That's why RoboCop 2 didn't work.
Oh, Peter.
You can't put Scolari in that role. You got to get Hanks.
He did Castaway, too.
Scolari and Sellers could have made a good movie together, made it be like a father-son team.
Scolari and Peter Sellers?
Yeah, that would have been good.
You know what? I would have liked to have been in that business.
What, with Bernadette Peters? And the Peters?
I think it's,
Cal came to that joke so sheepishly, it was adorable.
Wow.
Who, me?
Who, me?
You know, like Bernadette Peters?
You guys know, right?
Like, get it? That was my Michael Cera.
That's good.
I don't know who's playing Murphy. I'm trying to find out.
Well, what else you got?
Oh, Joel Kinnaman. Kinnaman.
Ooh, Kong.
Never heard of him. He's been in nothing. He is, you guys will love this, he is Swedish and American. He was born in Stockholm, Sweden.
He's
playing Murphy.
Does he get the billing of and introducing Joel Kinnaman?
Gosh, I hope so, because nobody's ever.
He's dynamite.
All right, so I would not have put them in RoboCop, the reboot. I would have put them in Ghostbusters 3. Can we do that?
Someone's going to do it.
Oh, there's a script. I mean, it's been rumored to be happening for years now.
Right.
Why can't we make that happen?
Because it won't be good.
It says who? You know what? You're so negative.
What else you got, PJ?
A Wayne's World burying of the hatchet. The Mike Myers-Dana Carvey feud is over.
Really? I didn't know there was one.
There was a huge... Oh, come on. You didn't know this?
I didn't know this. Hold on. We're going to lose the live feed. So if you were listening, thanks. And please go to www.rtusports.com. Check out our website. That has all the episodes. You can get them on MP3 or iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. Also, again, a reminder... Thursday, April 25th, we will be live at Blue Haven again for a live remote. NFL draft, we're going to have T-shirts, there's going to be beer specials, Corner of Houston and Thompson, www.bluehavennyc.com to check that out. We would love to see you down there. And we will be back on Thursday next week in our regular spot. So in the meantime, thanks for listening. Thanks to my cousin. Thanks to Cousin Michelle for calling in about Mad Men. We'll talk to her again soon. Mad Men, that nice show with the Jewish kid. That's like Spider-Man. Are you going to see Spider-Man? He's such a nice boy. Goes from building to building nice. Thanks. Yes. Now, back to the extra time front load. Mike Myers and Dana Carvey were in a feud?
Yes. Because Carvey... Always
you're saying this like this common knowledge here.
This is common knowledge. Carvey said
common knowledge.
that Dr. Evil, the whole Lorne Michaels is Dr. Evil thing,
which he is,
was his bit, and Myers took it.
No.
And didn't give him a nod or anything for it.
How did I not know
this? Carvey took it very personal.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And that's why there was no Wayne's World 2, 3, and 4, and 5, and 6. Well,
there was a Wayne's World 2.
Yeah.
We like to pretend it didn't exist, but it did.
Oh, come on.
And so they buried the hatchet now, so we may get Wayne's World 3, is what you're telling me?
They buried the hatchet. There's some kind of like Wayne's World sit down reunion thing, you know, where they do a panel and they're all going to talk. Who knows?
Gonna,
who knows where that leads?
Is that going to be a BAM at the Brooklyn Academy of Music and Arts?
It's a symposium.
Wouldn't it seem like that's exactly where they would do that sort of thing?
Right. They might
I think
get.
It's not, look, I like when everybody gets along.
They might get Lipton to moderate that.
It's a 14-part series,
right? And not ironically either. Like they're dead serious about this, and it's just not working.
I'm going to all 14. By the way, I can't wait till they break down Tia. Tia Carreras. Is that her name?
They did not mention bringing her back.
Tia Carrera, yeah.
She was not mentioned at the reunion.
That's not a great performance.
I think track 8 is Aerosmith, so that's a good one to catch.
Steven Tyler's going to come and talk for 3.5 hours about doing the Wayne's World theme song. Be great.
Another thing I read, because I don't watch Glee anymore. I watched the first 2 seasons of Glee and then I kind of parted ways. But Glee decided to do a school shooting episode.
Ripped from the headlines.
Where a student brings a gun to school and starts shooting up the place. I mean, this is Glee.
And they sing about it?
Kind of. I heard about this.
Oh, come on now.
There was music, right, while it was going on?
No, there wasn't music while it was going on. But when it was all over, they sung about it. And spoiler alert, nobody was killed.
Thanks.
There was nothing.
Was it a cutesy shooting? Was it adorable?
It was.
Was it gay friendly?
No. Well, I guess it was. Should I reveal it? I mean,
when was the episode on?
Last night.
Oh.
Is this too soon? By the time people listen to this, it'll be Saturday.
That's right. They'll have had
not too soon.
Maybe
this is overtime.
That's true.
This is overtime.
That's true.
Do you want to know? Do you want to know what happened?
I do.
All right. So Jane Lynch, the great Jane Lynch, plays I guess she's like a gym teacher on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Or she's a coach or whatever. She has a mentally handicapped sister who is young enough to be a student at the high school and has grown close to the graduating seniors of the class and was kind of upset that once high school ended, everybody was going to go their separate ways.
I think you're way off.
No, listen to me. And it turns out... No,
Cal, we don't want to hear your spec script for Glee right now.
You're gonna look this up after I tell you this, and you're going to be like, damn, he's right. She brings a gun. She brought a gun to class, and she wasn't shooting the school up. It was the gun went off in the school. There was gunshots heard.
Like they do, because guns just do that.
Right. Sure. And what happened was Jane Lynch's character, at the end of the episode, took the heat for she had brought a gun to school to protect herself, and it went off accidentally. And then she gets, expelled or fired from her job. And then you see in flashbacks that it happened to be the mentally handicapped sister. And then they sung about it afterwards.
And then they sang More Than Words. There's a better song. Then they sang When the Children Cry.
Okay.
By White Lion.
I think you've got a couple of details off there, but, it doesn't matter.
It's kind of close. And
kind of close.
Then they sang
an
a cappella version
her,
of Round and Round by Rat.
That's all right. They do... The all hair metal tribute.
The producers defended it by saying, "Well, but this was in production well before what happened in Sandy. Like that was okay."
And they couldn't pull it out of production. I mean, come on now, we bought the rights to all those songs.
That happened to Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes.
That's right, after Columbine, right?
After Columbine.
They had a story about a kid with a gun in a tower.
Yeah. That's
who
right.
Who doesn't shoot anybody, but he just has a gun, and they they ended up pulling the episode and taking the whole season out of order, and they aired it at the end, and the season didn't make a lot of sense.
And PJ was very upset, by the way.
Let's not get into that.
You're a big Buffy fan?
The biggest.
Well, I don't know if you were the biggest.
I'm pretty geeky. I don't go to conventions yet, but
well,
I do tout it as one of the best written shows ever on TV.
Wow, that's a pretty big fan.
That's pretty big.
I'm a pretty big fan. I just thought this was a really tasteless episode. I'm sorry, I just wanted to bring it up.
Right.
You were looking for a way to get that in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild stuff. What was the song, though? I must know. What did they sing at the end?
It was something slow and a cappella that they all sang together.
Yeah, what show chorus version of the
was
song
it Time
did they
of
hear?
Your Life? Was it Green Day?
No, that's too on the nose. Come on.
No, it wasn't that. I couldn't.
Yeah, it's got to be. You got to give me something from like 88.
From 88?
Yeah. Don't they do that? Don't they take like, 80s and 90s songs and show choir them up?
That was the bigger conceit of the first season, was that one of the kids was obsessed with classic rock.
Oh, okay.
So they did all the Journey and Queen, but then as they got more popular, they were really putting in like hits of the moment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never watched the program.
You don't need to. You're not
making
any.
No.
But none of that's the fun load.
That is. So what's the fun load?
The fun load was just a simple topic. And I
what was the song?
The song was Say by John Mayer.
Oh.
Say what you need to say.
Oh, boy.
What you need to say? She's a Down syndrome girl with a gun.
Oh, my goodness. Hold on. Uh-oh. Because also in this episode, they covered More Than Words.
Thank you. Good night. I'll be here all week.
That's it. Episode over.
I can't believe this.
That's magnificent.
That's tremendous.
I can guarantee you I'd never watched a show. That's fantastic.
Wow.
That's extreme.
That's why I am Hollywood.
Oh, PJ.
Oh, Peach.
I'm sorry.
That's me.
To the extreme.
Awesome.
What do you got, Peach? What do you got?
The name of the game is What Can You Do?
Right. Okay.
I've been home for the last 2 weeks. And I've been doing everything. I've been putting up drywall and sanding and even painting, even though I'm really not a good painter, and putting up molding and I'm just wondering, we have this little show together. What can you guys do?
Like actually do?
Yeah,
literally.
Like, can you put up a ceiling fan? Can you wire that and do that?
I've done that.
You've done that.
Wow.
Yes.
Cal gets the game off to a rousing first round.
Well, hold on. I've replaced a ceiling. I haven't installed wiring. I've replaced a ceiling fan.
You never built it yourself?
I never built
the blades.
With your bare hands.
Oh, so the fixture was already in, the electrical box was already there?
Yeah, so I guess that's not technically what you meant, but
No. That qualifies.
I have to turn the circuit breakers off.
Good, thank you. Please don't hurt yourself.
This is a difficult. What can I do?
What can you do? You didn't put a ceiling fan in Wesley's room?
No.
Oh, boy.
First of all, the difficult part of this game for me to play along with is that I rent. You boys own. Big difference.
That's huge.
We're going to talk about cars, too.
Again.
What can you cook?
What can you cook?
I got ugats in this game.
No,
I can't do anything.
I don't buy that for a second.
I am ineffectual as a person in this situation.
If we come to you and we say, Steve, you got to cook either breakfast or lunch or dinner, which one do you pick? What's your wheelhouse?
Breakfast.
Okay.
I can make pancakes. Very good pancakes.
You can cook breakfast. That's
I can
start.
Make pancakes. And we just got a griddle recently. And a really nice one. A lodge. For the stovetop. Nice griddle, nice. And I have made pancakes successfully on 5 occasions.
Can you bake?
No. Negatory. Negatory, good buddy.
Could you grill?
Yes. Not great. No. Passable.
No man starts as a natural griller.
Let me put it to you this way. Nobody's getting sick. That's my claim to fame as a grill master.
It's not underdone trigonosis, and it's not overdone instant cancer.
That's right. Botulism has not been a problem. That's my claim to fame as a grill guy. How about you? Are you a big grill guy, Cal?
Yeah, I like to grill.
I know PJ is. PJ, you don't get to host a meat party every year. Literally, every summer, host a meat party.
Grilling is something I worked on. Grilling was something that, like, when nobody was home, I'd go outside and experiment with chicken and beef patties to see, like, how many minutes per side.
Man, you are a fascinating human being.
yeah.
Cal, you, what kind of grill are you working over there? Are you working something nice?
I'm working a gas grill. I'm lucky. I have gas line that comes out from the house and connects to the grill.
Oh, that's nice.
So I never have to replace the propane, which is nice.
That's hot action.
And we grill all year round. I'll go out in the winter, and I'll shovel a path to the grill, and I'll throw a steak on the grill.
I love it.
You know?
I love what you're doing.
And no cleanup. I love it.
Wow.
Not,
well,
I mean,
a little
look,
cleanup, I hope.
Well, a little cleanup. No, we just leave it.
What are you doing over there?
No, it's fine.
You're drinking your Tim Hortons and living in filth.
All right. As long as you keep your Timbits off the grill.
Can you stop a leaky faucet?
Probably not. I fixed the... all right, I'll take this one. I fixed the... The flusher there on the toilet.
The handle or the flapper inside?
No, the flapper inside. The chain broke and the flapper broke. And it was running, and the water was running, and it was infuriating, and I fixed that whole organization.
It's infuriating when you open that up and you see what cheap plastic it is, right?
Right.
Yeah. And I got the
this.
I got
this
the
was
new
designed to break.
It looks like a dog's toy, like a plastic ball just sitting in there.
Right. Well, no, I had to replace the flapper on the bottom there.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Right, with the arms and everything. I mean, I had to look up a part and get the right one and yeah. So I will take get the chain to the right length. So you had the when you pull it, it goes. I'll take that one.
That's good.
The links. That's good. You had to shorten the length and you did it right.
Yes. This you understand did not happen in a day. This is a process.
You let the toilet leak for a few days while you figured it out.
It was over a number of days.
That's all right.
Yes.
PJ, can you spackle?
Yes and no.
This was a simple yes or no question. You can't yes and no.
No, I know exactly what he means.
I can spackle, and I can fan it out and make it nice, but when it comes time to sand it, I give it to my wife.
Yep.
Because she is a perfect sander.
There's a technique.
And then I just follow her with a shop vac.
Yeah.
You have to have a real touch to get it smooth.
Yeah, I don't... You guys are... This is some next level stuff here.
I've spackled
walls. I'm not handy at all.
I've spackled walls and then sanded it down completely to the point where as if I didn't put any spackle on the wall.
Right, you over sand right. And you're back to the wall. You're like, what did I do?
Wait a second.
I just wasted 25 minutes.
And there's dust everywhere.
For days.
And it's the good for you dust. Really good for just take a deep breath of that.
It's like made of asbestos.
Yeah.
That stuff.
It's the dust that you see 2 days later when you sneeze. There's extra white powder just came out of my nose. Why did that happen?
Right. And I'm not even like Tony Montana or anything. Like, there's just right. this.
Can you build a fire?
No. Oh, wait. No, let me. No, I can. Yeah, I can build a fire.
Okay.
Maybe. Without a match?
No. Negatory.
Me neither.
Negatory. I was not a Boy Scout. I don't believe in the organization. I'm not handy. This was on my application.
Can you change a spark plug? This is surprising to me.
I'm not. Look, I saw
your brother take apart his car with one adjustable wrench. We had no wrenches in college.
We're very.
I came over and all I had was an adjustable wrench. And he went into that engine and he ripped it apart.
Yep, he's very talented.
He's good.
We're very different people. Very, very different people. I can change a tire.
We were driving over the Verrazano Bridge once, and he heard a noise under the car, so he pulled the car over.
On the bridge?
Right at the entrance to the bridge, Staten Island side.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we're already past the point of no return. Can't turn around. He pulls the car over. He's like, what is this? And he goes under the car, and he rips out the entire muffler. And he, like, throws it in the bag. He's like, that thing was coming out anyway. And then we keep driving.
Yep. That's not me.
That's not you. You're different.
I would have. I'm not. I can do some things, but yeah, I'm not that guy.
Can you, in a single confident move, uncork a wine bottle?
Yes.
I can't do that.
Easily. How about that?
No, I screw up the corkscrew operation almost every time. I split the cork.
Some of us were desperate, awful waiters for a long time. Some of us were out of work actors for a long time. Yeah, no, that one I'm good.
Okay, well that's a talent.
That one I'm, and I can do it with like a really bad corkscrew too. I can do it with a bad corkscrew confidently because I had to do it at a table like at Bobby Flay's restaurant. So, like, I had to learn to, even if I wasn't good at it, you had to fake being confident at it. So, yeah, here's I can do that one.
Here's one that gives me complete anxiety. Can you guys carve a turkey?
No.
Aha, neither can I. I'm terrible.
Oh, my goodness.
I run from it on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
See, we're not men.
We're not. My dad strolls right in there. He carves that turkey in 10 seconds.
That's it. He doesn't even think about it.
No, he knows exactly where to put that knife.
What's wrong with this generation of men?
You cut it here, you got to separate the leg from the thigh.
There's
like,
a technique where it comes
right
off the bone.
What's that?
There's a technique where it comes right off the bone.
Yes. What is that technique?
I don't believe it. That's alchemy. I don't know what you're talking about.
They left that out.
What are you, some sort of medicine man? That's impossible.
With your turkey voodoo.
Do you know how to properly cut steak on the bias? People yell all the time that I cut the flank steak wrong. Like, you're supposed to cut against the grain and on a bias. I'm like, what? I can't keep up. I'm just trying to slice the meat. Don't you have a knife?
I just want to eat it. I can't be bothered. That's too much.
There's a way to do everything. Catching up.
The great thing is I'm doing it all wrong. Like all of those things I'm doing wrong. There's perpetually my father on my shoulder with all of these things telling me I'm doing it wrong. No.
Well, we all put in flooring together. That was fun.
Yeah, that was a good day, right? This is a great spot to I played baseball again last night in a
I wanted to ask you about
in a wood I'm you know back playing wood bat fast pitch, regular baseball, but it's in 35 and over league, which is much more my speed. So now I became the young guy. No, yeah. But you're talking about all these things and you're doing it wrong and all that. When I get on a baseball field, still, I'm doing it right. I know what I'm doing. Just the one, it's the one place where you know, I know what I'm doing. And it was always the one place where I knew better than, like, my dad or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I still get out there and I'm doing it right. And I'm confident in what I'm, you know, I can't put up a shelf. I can't change a spark plug. I can't change the oil on my car. I'm not a man.
You can until put up a shelf. Cut it
I
out.
I did put up a shelf. Not well.
Can you build IKEA furniture?
Yes.
All right.
That's just from being poor, though. and having to get IKEA furniture.
Can you build package furniture like that?
Yes. I've got plenty of it in this house.
Yeah. Well, that's a great difference between IKEA 15 years ago and IKEA now. Like, IKEA now is, like, good. You know,
right.
IKEA over the last, like, 5-10 years has gotten good.
Yeah.
You know, like, when I had the first dresser I brought from IKEA was, like, balsa. Like, I think I put it together with, like, airplane. Like, there was testers on the glue that I used. Put it together. Like, pick it up and throw it at somebody.
I'm a stay-at-home dad right now. Right?
What do you mean? Like, on a job interview?
No. So I also have these skills. Can you pick a melon?
No.
Pick a melon?
Yeah, like, there's a bin of watermelons. Do you know how to get the right watermelon?
No, watermelon I cannot. No.
Okay.
Is
cantaloupe,
there another
honeydew?
Melon that you can?
I honeydew and cantaloupe.
Okay.
I know what I'm looking for. Watermelon
okay.
is just too big.
Dude, that's good, because that's something you could teach your kids.
Right. Well, sure.
Sure. Morality.
As long as Jesse isn't on.
Yeah. Oh.
Morality and, you know, good manners and how to pick a melon nice. These are the things you'll be able to impart.
I'll tell you, though, my daughter comes with me shopping, and she picks out a lot of the produce. She's good at that, the tomatoes and the bananas. She's good at that.
You'll have that and what number Bob Bourne wore.
Right. That's what
this is what you're imparting.
That's what she'll know.
How to pick a honeydew. How to change a ceiling fan.
And who batted fifth in 1983.
And who
batted for the Mets.
Exactly.
Pre-Hernandez.
Pre-Hernandez, that's right. When they were 22 and 36, when they made the trade for Hernandez. Hey, you're probably talking Dave Kingman. All right, we got to wrap this up, buddies. We're way over time here. Crazy over time.
Well, thank you for playing my game.
I love this game.
That's a fun game.
That's a fun game.
I think what it illustrates is just how inferior we are to what you know, PJ.
Thank you for revealing how completely inadequate I am. Good. I appreciate that.
Well, you know what our friend Mark Passy used to say, Steve?
What's that?
He said, whenever I have a problem with anything, I always call PJ. Because, you know, PJ, you know everything.
That's right. And if you don't, you got a guy.
I can convincingly make it up.
That's correct. All right, PJ, final unload.
Oh, Jonathan Winters, you broke my heart.
You stole mine.
I didn't mean it. I'm looking forward to the new RoboCop. Looks great. Okay.
I think that's a universal final unload. Can we all go with Jonathan Winters? Can we do a three-man final unload?
Yeah.
So, Peach, favorite Jonathan Winters memory. How about that?
Moon over Parador. The retired CIA guy.
Yep.
It just crushes me.
Very, very good. Cal?
Favorite Jonathan Winters role?
Yeah, or just something, yeah.
Mork and Mindy's.
Yeah, it could
kid.
Be. Yep. It's brilliant.
I thought that was great.
Mine is my dad. I think I've told you guys this before. My dad had that album from the, you know, the mad mind of Jonathan Winters or whatever.
Mm.
and just sitting with my dad and listening to that album. And my dad just cracking up. Absolutely cracking up. And one of the guys, you know, the first like stand-up albums I ever listened to. He was a genius. And, you know, that word gets overused often. It was not in his case at all. So, yeah, good final download. Hey, great episode, guys.
It was a very good episode.
I enjoyed it. Will you be back next week, Peach? Are you holding out contract?
It looks good. It looks good. And by the way, that You Know Everything, PJ, that was sarcasm from Patsy. That wasn't me tooting my own horn. That was
right,
Patsy calling me out for being a know-it-all.
Right. Well, I'll play this final quote. I'll leave you guys with this.
Oh, you think darkness is your ally? You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it. Molded by it. I didn't see the light until I was already a man. By then it was nothing to me but blindness.
Good night, everybody.